So I've had an idea. So, you know, there's been quite a lot of press coverage about the Oasis tickets and how they were sold, something they called dynamic pricing. So people got in this long queue and they thought they were going to get tickets for, I don't know, 100 quid, and then they charged 300 quid when they got there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, terrible. It was dishonest. But it did give me an idea. Maybe we could introduce dynamic giving.
Right.
So someone thinks they're giving £2 a month to the podcast.
Yeah.
And actually we take £20.
So, sort of by the time they get to the checkout.
It's, yeah, by the time, it's time they get to the checkout, it's £20 a month. It's just a thought.
Surely, though, dynamic giving is based on the idea of demand, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's high demand. So by the time you get there, you've got to pay. Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, surely there's such little demand for what we do that we'd end up paying them by the time they got there.
I have not thought this through.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 302 of the Mid-Faith... Why have you put two exclamation marks after 302 on the running order?
It just seemed a lot.
Anyway, episode 302 of the Mid-Faith Crisis podcast. My name's Nick Page. My name's Nick Page, double exclamation mark. And there's Joe Davis.
Hello!
Double exclamation mark, question mark, asterisk.
Thank you to everyone who gives and hasn't lowered it. I'll say more about that in a minute.
Yeah, that's lovely. Thank you very much. Are there any church notices?
No, although I did notice there's some matters arising.
There is, yes.
Quite hefty.
Well, we'll deal with that in due course. I have a rather embarrassing apology to make, really, on that.
Okay. Yes, indeed.
I don't feel that apologetic about it, but I do feel a bit embarrassed. Anyway, so how are you, anyway?
Well, yeah, okay. I'm concerned about my job.
Oh.
I think I might need to look for another job.
Oh, okay. Why?
Well, as you know, I'm a funeral celebrant here in Worthing. But my industry has been hit by a tidal wave of enormous proportions, really. And that is the concept of direct cremations.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been advertised very aggressively this year in a way that they haven't been before on TV. So the idea is you don't need to spend money on a funeral. Just give the money to the kids and, you know, you'll have a party later. And lots of people are doing this. Well, I discovered this week that 70% of prepaid funerals, people are now asking for direct cremations. And more people are opting for that. And that's had a very big impact. You know, there are less funeral services happening. And I've noticed that year on year. But this year, quite dramatically so. So I've been in a very privileged position of, you know, that being basically how I've earned my living for a while. But it seems like that is not going to be the case for too much longer. So, that's been a slight concern, you know.
And
also I think it's a disaster emotionally. I think there'd be a huge rise in grief counselling. So maybe I'll become a grief counsellor.
That sounds good. I mean, I think, given your counselling techniques to me over the past couple of weeks, maybe not so good. But
Go on, cheer up.
But maybe it won't. Surely people still want to commemorate in some way.
There'll always be a demand. But I mean, I do think we're in a death-denying culture anyway. Yeah. So now the implications are you don't even say goodbye to someone. You know, you go down the pub with the ashes and have a drink on them kind of thing. That's often how it's portrayed. And that's what a lot of people do, in fact. I think it's I mean, it sounds like sour grapes and like I'm just trying to justify my position, but it's not that. Honestly, it isn't. It's just that thought of, you really need somewhere to say goodbye. Someone said to me when I went into celebrants, they said, if you do a really good funeral service, it really saves, you know, a lot of bereavement counselling later. Mm. Anyway, so that's the bad news. Let's focus on the good news.
Okay.
I went to Binsmere without you again. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks all right. For that. Don't be bitter.
That's all right. I didn't have a car.
I was with I was with the lovely Rachel. So, but here's the thing. On the Sunday, there were no noticeable insects anywhere. On the Saturday, there were thousands of dragonflies all over the place. So I can't help feeling it's a little bit late in the year for dragonflies. But anyway, evidently not. Mm. And, of course, we saw the hobbies feeding on them on the wing. So they sort of fly and catch them in their talons. Wow. And then they sort of duck their heads and nibble at them. Or they spit out the wings or whatever they do. So we just did that for a good half an hour, sat on a bench there just watching that. That was beautiful.
It's quite late in the year for hobbies, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You're exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. So everything's getting later. Everyone, yeah. And actually, the trees still have a lot of green on them now. I think about it. We saw something called a great green bush cricket. Have you seen one of those ever?
No.
Well, I think it's sort of locust size.
Oh, wow. But oh, I don't know if I want to see it.
Very much an English resident, and that was wonderful. So that's good. And I've been enjoying watching Ludwig on the TV. Have you come across Ludwig yet?
I know of it. I haven't watched it at all.
Yeah, no, it's really well done. It's fun. Stars David Mitchell. It's kind of gentle, kind of whodunity type stuff. Not too violent or anything. Great. Great fun. Highly recommend it. Good. Not as much as Ted Lasso, mind, but still good.
Good.
Yeah. You're smirking because I know you haven't finished the first season of Ted Lasso.
Because we've got only murders to catch up. We don't watch as much telly as you do.
Oh, at least... don't come over with that.
It's not that. I don't, but... and also, there's a huge amount of now new Strictly content that we've got to get through. Obviously, that takes up a lot of time.
Now, I'm not watching it.
Why? Why?
For whatever reason, I just couldn't face it. Couldn't face it.
Oh, it's a great cast this year.
Is it? Oh, don't tell me that. Oh,
Chris McCausley, that Welsh guy off the Go Compare advert is so funny, genuinely funny.
How's Chris doing? I mean, he's blind, right?
Fantastically, yeah.
That's
you have to watch it. You have to watch at least the dances.
Okay, what do you think, listeners? Should I? I don't know. I don't know.
Well, it's up to you. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
I have watched the last sort of, I don't know, six seasons straight. I think I need a Strictly sabbatical. I'll be back next year. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, enough. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, good, thank you.
And I mean that after last week.
Yes, thank you. I'll come on to that. There's lots to say still. Yeah. I hope this won't be another terribly Nick-centred episode. I hope we can look a little bit outside that. But anyway.
Yeah, I've got a feeling it will be.
well, you know, lots happening, lots processing. Much better than I was this time last week. Thank you very much. Watched Inside Out 2.
Brilliant.
All about anxiety.
Yeah. Runs riot.
Here's that. The theme of my weeks. And Claire turned to me after. It's a brilliant film. So it's all about how anxiety takes over control of this girl. And if you haven't watched the Inside Out films, I really recommend them. Yeah. Anyway, and Claire turned to me afterwards and she said, did you write that? Because it was just so much. I said, well, I'm not technically a 13-year-old girl, as is the film. But, anyway, but I love that. It's fantastic. Saturday went out. Now, went out. Here's the thing. You know that I'm off alcohol at the moment, obviously. Yeah. And then went out to pick up some wood. There's a recycled wood place in Abingdon. Mm. I went to get some bits to make some furniture with. And
making furniture? Hang on. Went out and got some bits to make furniture with.
Well, a bit of tabletop maybe, and things like that. You know, nothing. I'm not exactly cabinet maker. But, you know,
still impressive.
But, I mean, if you did want a coffin, I could knock one up. I'm just saying that. If you want to offer the full package.
Yeah.
Anyway, the story is, I went to this place and I hadn't ever noticed before, but it's right by one of my favourite breweries.
Okay.
The Loose Cannon Brewery in Abingdon with a bar, tap room.
Yeah.
Discount stuff to take away. And I couldn't go anywhere near it because I'm not allowed at the moment.
I thought you were going to say, and they serve delicious non-alcoholic beer.
No, they don't do it.
Oh,
they're not going to bother with that stuff. No. So I felt a bit aggrieved. I couldn't go in, but I'm marking it down. The day I get out of this purgatory, I'm there. But then I went on to the Pendon Museum. Now, you're going to have to bear with me on this one. Pendon Museum is a small museum in the village of Long Wittenham.
Good name.
Near Wittenham Clumps.
Of course.
And I don't know if you've ever had Wittenham Clumps, but
I got a cream.
They're very nasty. You have to wear loose fitting clothes. But Pendon Museum is a massive model railway built in the 1930s onwards.
I thought it was going to be something dull like pencils or something like that. But now
next time you come,
railway.
I will take you there.
Oh, because
it's huge. I didn't realise the size of it. It's the depth of it. It's like about 50 feet deep, this thing.
Okay.
And it's up. It goes over two floors. It was started by a guy called Roy England in the 30s. He was Australian, and he came over and he wanted to build models of the villages that he saw in this area, to preserve them almost, because they were getting knocked out. So it's the most wonderful place. If you get to go to Pendon Museum, everybody go. It's fantastic.
Okay, so a mid-faith crisis outing is what you're proposing.
Yes, and it's staffed obviously by volunteers of a certain, shall we say, demographic.
Okay.
So I was talking to them because I was saying, how do you get to the back of it? Because it's so far away, you can't reach. And there were crawl spaces that they go in. Okay. And this bloke was telling me that he said, even his age, he's 76 or something, he said, I can still crawl. But then I got his whole medical history after that. So a little added bonus from the volunteer there. But anyway, lovely to go there. And then I was speaking at a church service on Sunday, which I'll say more about later on. But that's my week, really.
I thought you didn't do so much of that now, but you seem to be.
Well, no, I was doing this as a favour.
Okay.
To a friend who runs the church there. So
okay.
I got sort of persuaded. It was one of those things that I couldn't say no to.
Okay.
And it was a good thing. Actually, it turns out it was a very, very good thing that I didn't say no to it, actually.
Okay. Well.
So that's that.
Great.
So should we come on to my rather sort of embarrassing admission?
Yes, let's do this under matters arising.
Yeah, so last week I mentioned this email we'd had from this listener talking about menopause.
Mm.
And we thought that was so good.
Mm.
And then after I sort of asked her about it, she emailed back and said, actually it wasn't my idea. I heard it on your podcast.
Ah.
I was thinking, oh, okay. That's news to me.
So
I thought, still, it's okay. You know, nobody will really notice.
Mm.
And then one of my best friends phoned me, Paul, who I've known since I was about 5 or 6.
Mm.
And he phoned me to talk about my events last week, to comfort me, and began by calling me an idiot, obviously.
You do have a great support network around you, Jay.
I do. I give it out and I receive it. And and it was him. He said, by the way, I invented menopause.
Yes.
And he said he'd emailed you about
it. Yeah, he did email me, actually, an email from the 26th of February, 2017. Impressed he still had it. That's good. There's a man who doesn't
a bit.
Clear his inbox or outbox or sent box. and he did actually define it, menopause.
Okay.
So when, as a Christian, you don't feel the same excitement as before, you don't understand your moods, you'd rather have a drink and a chat with your friends than fellowship, in inverted commas. You only need someone to say amen in the middle of a sermon to start a hot flush. Worship becomes dry and grating. HRT, holiness replacement therapy patches, are available. Basically, fridge magnets with a Bible verse on them. Something about renewing strength like eagles is good, though how eagles are especially good at renewing their strength was never made clear to me. He says, but in the long term, you just have to accept it is the change.
Brilliant. Well, I'm sorry, mate. I didn't remember that. But I have been ignoring you roughly for the last 20 years. So, you know, fair dues.
Exactly. Yeah, that's great.
So anyway, that was great. And it's still a great thing. And I'm going to try and remember the menopause more accurately in future.
Yes.
So have we got any feedback?
Yes. Well, firstly, I think I will just deal with the great love for you. There is after last week's, and lots of people, I know you won't like this, but lots of people wrote in with appreciation of your honesty, in fact, and not trying to dress up yourself as the big super guru. So just a quick shout out to some of those: Tim, Rosie, Kay, Sue, Rose, Gary, Jill and Ewan, Mick, and on Facebook, Helen, Rebecca, Ken, Dave and Marilyn. And I actually found the love of the community actually quite moving. So thank you to all of you. And Lisa, who wrote in and said that she has in fact listened to all 301 shows.
Oh, wow.
Said this about it. And this is very typical of the sort of comments that came in. Appreciating the honesty. She said, I think those of us who grew up in the sort of conservative evangelical traditions were taught from a young age to see feelings as fleshly, not to be trusted, a bit sinful, and in some extremes of the devil. Instead, we were schooled in all the old tropes, trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding, blah, 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 often quoted out of context and intended to act as a sort of scriptural coding. That's why I think it can be hard to recognise the full human experience when it hits us in the face. And she says, the Bible is full of laments, angry discord, people throwing their toys at God, and yet somehow we overlook this for our sanitised version of what we think being a Christian looks like. And I included that because I knew you'd agree with it, basically.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Thank
you,
Lisa, and for the love as well. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Then I like this from Marcus. This was actually on Facebook, and this was as regard the Noom scale. So he said he liked it, and he said, bearing in mind it's always going to be very subjective, it would be interesting to hear how people would rate biblical stories as a way to standardize it. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Peter being told to get behind me, Satan, that's a -5. Easter morning's a +10. Mary finding out she's going to give birth to the Son of God, that's a +10. Joseph finding out Mary's pregnant, that's a -10. Where would we place the passion, though, and what might be the implications?
Are we scoring these stories, or is it some kind of generalised sort of?
Well, he was just saying, you know, that would it be helpful to mark the scale so you could identify your experience, I suppose. But I think part of the problem is you could read The Passion one day and see something, and it could be a +10 for you. You could read it the other day, it'd be a nought. It is so very subjective. So you can't really standardize the scale. You can only compare it to your own experiences, not to other people's.
But you could have a translation that just included those bits. You could call it the Good Noom's Bible. There you go.
Thank you. Oh, dear.
Incidentally, my own daughter listened to the podcast.
Yeah,
and she said, I'd like to request a new segment called The Noom's at 10, please.
Well, I'm going to tell you, the first item is hobbies catching dragonflies at Minsbeer.
That was high nooms.
That's high nooms for me, a solid 4 or 5. Yeah, definitely. Okay, Paul wrote in, and I like this. I'm not going to read out all the emails about this, but this was a great story. Paul wrote in, he said, Nick's story really reminded me of the story about St. Teresa of Avila that is from an early biography of her. I'm sure you know it. I didn't actually. He says, but it goes like this. And if this is a quote from St. Teresa, she says this. We had to run many dangers. At no part of the road were the risks greater than within a few leagues of Burgos at a place called Los Pontes. The rivers were so high that the water in places covered everything. Neither road nor the smallest footpath could be seen, only water everywhere and two abysses on each side. It seemed foolhardiness to advance, especially in a carriage, for if one strayed ever so little off the road, one might have perished. The saint is silent on her share of the adventure, but her companions relate that seeing their alarm, she turned to them and encouraged them, saying that as they were engaged in doing God's work, how could they die in a better cause? She then led the way on foot. The current was so strong that she lost her footing and was on the point of being carried away when our Lord sustained her. Oh, my Lord, she exclaimed with her usual loving familiarity, when wilt thou cease from scattering obstacles in our path? Do not complain, daughter, the divine master answered, for it is ever thus that I treat my friends. Our Lord, it is also on that account that thou hast so few, was her reply. That is quite good, isn't it? Good old Teresa. She's got a good sense of humour, hasn't she?
I was expecting that to go in a totally different direction. I must admit, when you got to that bit, I was thinking, why is he reading this out? And then, there we go. Brilliant.
And Paul said, I've often had the same exasperation that Teresa expresses. Just give us a break. We all have, Paul. Thank you for writing that.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
I do think, actually, a lot of the lives of saints, when you read them, they have a lot more...
texture.
Yeah. As this bit says, familiarity.
Yeah.
With God. And they're a lot more nuanced. As you say, a lot more different texture to them.
Yeah.
But, exactly. That's why you have so few. Brilliant.
Okay, so I know you wanted to reflect a little bit. I bet you were already doing that last week, I think, which was quite impressive because you were still in the midst of it. But what are your maturer reflections a week on?
I felt quite embarrassed last week when I did the editing. Because I thought, oh, gosh, this is so about me. And here I am again doing it. I felt embarrassed for a number of reasons. One, just I'm English and you have it built into the DNA. Well, some of us do.
You do.
Yours has been winnowed by your Italian blood, I feel. You know. But, you know, I have a sort of inbuilt sense of not wanting to go there.
Yeah, sure.
I think the other thing was what we were talking a bit about last week, you know, that actually when the podcast went out, I had so many lovely messages from people. Mm. Thank you again, as Joe said, for all that. But I particularly had messages from friends who I know have been through much worse things.
Yes, that's humbling, isn't it? Yeah.
And that made me feel, oh, what am I complaining about? And I know we talked about this because that's not really helpful because you have to do it anyway. But what helped me was actually doing this service on Sunday because I hadn't chosen the reading. Claire had chosen it. And she chose a reading from 2 Corinthians. So I'm going to read a little bit out of it. And the verses, chapter 1, verse 3 to 4 goes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God."
Mm.
And that made me feel really that I know what's... I kind of realised what was happening. What's happening is not that people are comparing events. It's that we're in this sort of virtuous circle of comfort.
Yes.
They are giving to me out of what's been given to them.
Yeah.
And so... throughout our lives, I think we'll receive a stores of comfort at important points. And I think the key thing is for us to share those out. How do we receive the comfort from God? We receive it from each other because we're the body of Christ. That's how it works.
Yeah.
And so it felt like they were giving back.
Yeah.
Really. I'm not sure I was ever much comfort to them. But, you know, they felt... that's what I felt. And I think that's a much healthier perspective on it because it stops you sort of thinking about, oh, well, what I've lost is nothing compared to what they've been through. These are people who've been through serious bereavements and all kinds of stuff. But it's not about that. It's about that they were given comfort and they're giving comfort back.
Yeah, there's something lovely about that. Yeah,
I think I felt... that we're in this lovely sort of, as I say, virtuous circle where comfort can flow between us.
Yeah.
The thing to do is make sure we're generous with our comfort.
Oh.
And we don't sort of hoard it, but we give it out to others, I think.
That's a great thought for the day. Let's end the podcast there. I like it. Be generous with comfort.
Well, because you meet people, don't you, who have suffered bad things and yet somehow they're still in on themselves. You know, they're still... it's all still got to flow in one direction, all the comfort. And I think that maturity in it comes from the point where actually you can both give and receive.
But that's an interesting thing about virtues. I wonder if others sort of work a bit like that. It's in some ways, does it solidify your own comfort then, giving comfort to others? You know, I just wonder if there's sort of... it deepens its impact on you somehow as you give it out. I don't know. Does love work that way? I don't know.
Perhaps it's a bit like learning it and practicing it, or receiving it and practicing it.
Yeah.
You're actually doing it.
Yeah.
And therefore you're embodying what's been given to you. Mm. And I think that is my experience. I've met many people in my lives who've gone through, you know, some really tough times, but they are so loving and generous and caring. And I think they are, they're not embittered, but they're giving back what they've received.
But as I said to you, I found it very moving. And just reading the comments on Facebook and everything, you just think, surely this is the kingdom of God, or what Jesus meant by the kingdom of God. There's something about kindness, something about people being bothered to say something kind to someone that is very, very powerful, I think.
Yeah.
Very moving.
Yeah.
The best of humanity in some ways.
Yeah. You know, and perspective, you know, a week on you get perspective. It's fine. You know, a year's time we'll be in a different place, a few months time being a totally different place. But in that moment, I think it's lovely to receive it. So there was that.
Yeah.
There was something else that I forgot to say last week, which was that resilience thing I was doing with people. We were talking about God's promises.
Yeah.
And one of my colleagues said, you know, she's going through sort of a process and she doesn't know if it's going to work out or not. And she was saying that she doesn't know if this is what God wants or anything like that. But all she knows is that God has said to her, I will be with you.
Yeah.
And I went out to lunch with a friend who didn't know that, but who echoed those words to me. So I think there's something about presence which is more important than promise.
Yeah.
And perhaps presence is the fulfillment of the promise.
Of my ever morphing, ever changing faith, I mean, presence is something that has greatly deepened in my own experience. I don't expect God to solve all my problems or to stop bad things happening or to take away death of loved ones or anything like that. I think I'm just as likely to hit on bad times as others, but I do expect to experience the presence of God with me in the good and the bad. So I think that's a great promise to hang on to.
That's a mature place to be, I think, isn't it? And
I hope so.
I think it is, because I think you're not going on, you know, it's almost like you're not going on what you want to get out of it in that sense, you know, these sort of big promises about your life.
Mm.
You know, I will make you this. You know, we've talked in the past about how you were sort of given visions of leadership and promises
right.
of this
and
biblical prophecies of this and that and the other. Whereas I think that the only thing really we can be guaranteed is that God will be with us.
Yeah.
You know, there's not much else.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know you need much else, to be honest. I mean, no, that's not true. Sometimes when you're really in a hole, what you need is a ladder.
And you need insurance companies, and you need medical care and all kinds of stuff. There's lots of things, but the presence of God can be mediated in so many different ways, can't it? That's the thing.
Yeah. Great.
Which brings me on to the other thing that I just thought about really this morning, really. Because when I was thinking about this podcast, I was thinking about talking about that verse and watching Inside Out and how everything seemed to come together, you know, throughout the week. When you're in this situation, you hear God, you hear this thing.
Right, yeah.
And loads of things are sort of pooled or gathered, you know, together for it. And it struck me that perhaps this is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is really to get us to pay attention.
There we go.
To our lives and to all kinds of things. You know, to our prayers, to nature, to the Bible, to pay attention to these things and to almost reflect on them or to react on them.
Well, you've talked about this before and you've quoted Simone Weil, haven't you? A lot about paying attention and what a gift that is. And of course, as I understand us as human beings, we are great deleting machines. You can only focus, broadly speaking, on one thing at a time.
Mm.
And that means you're deleting tons of information. So when you're really focused on your problems, all you can see are your problems, like the disaster career choices you might have made and stuff like that. What you're not focused on is all the beauty that's still happening all around you. That just disappears from your mind, doesn't it? So I think that's why one of the great spiritual disciplines, and for me, one that I've really tried to hold on to, is the present moment, the being present to the what's around you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all of it, so you don't lose perspective completely. Mm. It's really hard to do.
Oh, I think in that moment, it's impossible, yeah.
When you're right in the midst of the storm, you can't go, oh, what a beautiful flower that is. Yeah, you tend not to do that, even though the truth is that flower is still very beautiful.
Yes, no, I didn't. I wasn't wading around saying, oh, gosh, rainwater, how marvellous. Look at the power of nature. No, I think that's right. There's a sense in which you wisdom is about looking back on something from and gaining a perspective on it, and then you start to see these moments and these connections, and then you start to pay attention to them. You know, I talked last week about, well, the only promise that I could go to was the Jesus prayer, Lord have mercy.
Yeah,
I've just written a book actually for Open Doors, but in that I talk about the second part of that story, because that's based on the story of Bartimaeus calling out to Jesus, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me, that prayer. But there's another bit. When Jesus asks Bartimaeus, what do you want? He says, Lord, I want to see. And so I think that's a great second prayer to pray.
Right.
Is, I want to see. What do you want me to look at here, Lord? What do I need to see in this situation? And I see things that I don't like. In last week, I see, you know, insecurities and anxieties and wanting to be correct and do the right thing, you know, and, and not worrying about what people... I see some... And then I see great things as well, because I begin to see people's response, and I begin to see the way that little moments from the week coalesce around this event and speak into it. And
that's really interesting,
I think, you know, we think the work of God in our lives is to arrange our lives, to arrange for things to happen. What if the work of God in our lives is to just help us to look, to see at what does happen? Because things happen anyway. We don't know whether God brings them or not. You know, and sometimes I think he does, and sometimes, most of the time, I think it's just stuff happening. But what if the role of the Holy Spirit is not, you know, it's not in terms of telling us guidance in terms of which way to go every moment of our day, but telling us how to look at something.
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right. What if the role of the Holy Spirit is in fact to bring wisdom to our perspective on events, rather than changing events and making, you know, bad things not happen to us? The role of the Holy Spirit is just to help us be wise in all events of our life.
So the story we tell about it, which we were talking about last week, story about any of these events, is in a sense, you know, not why did God allow this to happen, but what might God have for me to discover in it? What is there? That's a terrible question, really.
Yes, it is, yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure I could word it better.
I think I know what you're getting at. Like...
What does God want me to discover in it? And what if God is really interested in what I might discover? What if God doesn't even know what I might discover? What if we're interested in finding out together what I'm going to discover in it? So I don't think it's wrong to see meaning in events. It's just the question is, what meaning do you want to draw out of them, and how...
Yes, and what meaning are you giving?
Yeah, and what's your view of God? Because I was thinking, how does this reflect on our talks about smitiness?
Yes.
You know, the smitiness of God. Because all of that is about the biblical writers going, oh, God smote them because in order that they might turn. And you sort of sense, well, maybe that was how they were interpreting events. You know, maybe they did see that event and think, actually, the message that I ought to take out of this is I need to change my behaviour. In which case, that's not a bad message to take out of the event. So I think that's really what I'm trying to process at the moment, is all this, you know, what is the story? What is there to discover? And I don't want to be glib about it, because people are in horrible events, and I don't want to turn around and go, what's God saying to you at this point?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that
it's
must be the most annoying thing. So you've got to have perspective. You've got to have distance. But I think that's why we notice all these other little coincidences so much at these times, is because actually we are looking. Our antennae are really attuned to that.
It's true, isn't it? And you learn this as a parent. You know, sometimes, you know, a child gets really upset by something very insignificant, and you just want to say, look, this is really insignificant. But actually, that's not what the child needs.
Yeah.
What the child needs in that moment, I often think, and I wish I'd learnt this earlier in my parenting life, well, that child needs to say, do you know, this is really hard. Come here, have a hug. This hurts. Your friend said something really horrible to you. Don't tell them sticks and stones are breaking bones. Words will never harm you. If you're going to say, just give them a cuddle and say, that really hurt you, didn't it? That's, come here. Know how loved you are. And then later, you can reflect on the event. So, you know, I think this is so good, because what we say to others really matters in the moment. We may have some wisdom, but now is not the time to give that wisdom.
No.
You know, what's needed is just outright love and hugs and care and, you know, cheese.
And that comfort, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, sharing the comfort.
Possibly not cheese in some cases, but you know what I mean. And I think you're saying that even to yourself. I think you, what I'm hearing you saying is, look, last week, all I need to say is this is terrible. You know, this is awful. This has rocked me.
Yeah.
You don't need to think that overnight you've got to have perspective on it or you're going to wake up even the following day. But already a week on, you're having reflections on it and you're seeing things come together, even watching, you know, Inside Out 2 at the end of a disastrous week.
Yes, and it's not a sum. This is the other thing. I hate this idea that God sends you in things in order to do something.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I've heard it said about the most appalling things. Well, this happened so that God might do this. You know, that's not the case. This happened. It's all separate, but somehow joined. You know, this event happened, and it happened because of consequences and all kinds of consequences. You know, because I drove into it, or because the council hadn't cleared the drains, because Thames Water are more interested in investing in shares than they are in actually doing anything with actual water.
That's true.
All this stuff, you know, these are consequences. So everything has a consequence. Yeah. It has to have that. So it's just a thing that happened.
Yeah.
And my response to it is different at different points, but there is good stuff to be drawn out of it. And there is also painful stuff that's going to happen through it. And it all is one big mass. It's not a kind of sum that you're working out, really. Yeah. But, you know, anyway, and next week I might be another puddle of anxiety again. I don't know. Mm. But interesting times.
It is interesting times. And thanks for sort of bringing us on the journey with you, because it's interesting to sort of share these sort of reflective moments with you. So bless you, mate. Thanks for doing that.
Well, I've got to fill the podcast with something, haven't I? But, you know, and the point is I've got a choice. It's either going to be about me or it's going to be about you. And
yes, it has been all about you.
Well, let me ask about you then.
Well, thank you.
How are you? Because last week we rather lost, I feel, the devastating news of your lifestyle change.
Yeah, well, listen, I've got good news on that.
Oh, have you?
Via a feedback email from the wonderful Claire. In fact, I'm going to say this was the best email of the week.
Okay.
Well, Claire describes herself as a bit of a science nerd, and she was listening to a podcast, and he said, according to latest research, fermented dairy products don't have the same bad effects as other saturated fats. So cheese is on the table. And she quotes from the podcast, this person said, and so we know that as a whole, saturated food is bad for cholesterol, full stop. But we know that we need to worry about some saturated fats more than other saturated fats. So saturated fat from processed red meats, for example, saturated fat from other red meats, saturated fat from some dairy, but not all dairy. So, for example, butter, we know, yes, it increases our LDL, our bad cholesterol. What we know, though, is there are some saturated fats that don't seem to have this negative effect. And this is because of the cleverness, the amazing food matrix, or the structure that these fats are found in. So fermented dairy, such as, wait for it, cheese, such as yogurt, for example, we know does not have a cholesterol-raising effect. Thank you. Hallelujah. Can you hear the angelic voices in the air?
what a journey you've been on, really.
Well, I am cutting back on cheese still, but it's nice to know that a little bit's not going to do too much damage.
Well, I've read this as well. There's a very good book. I think it's called This Book Could Save Your Life. And it's a guy from The New Scientist who looks at all the data.
Yeah.
He looks at all the paper, as many papers as he can, to try and work out what the myth. And he talks about this, about how we get confused because we see the word fat.
Yes. Yeah.
And we think that's going to make us fat. But actually, it's different kinds of fats. So, that must have brightened your day immensely.
And thank you, Claire, for that. That's great. But what I don't want to lose at the end of this podcast is the being generous with comfort. I think that's the take home this week. If you are feeling comforted, let's not put this on everyone, but if you yourself are feeling comforted, then be generous with that comfort. Go comfort some others.
Yeah, and if you feel you're in need of comfort, don't rank it against other people's.
Yes.
You know, just ask for it.
Yeah.
just tell your story and let others share their comfort with you. It has been great. Thank you so much to everybody who's written it.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you for sort of showing us the wisdom of, you know, that there is for the person who's going through the hard times, but also the wisdom for the people who are supporting those going through the hard times.
Well, you know, I think, once again, I'll probably be deeply embarrassed by the whole thing. And I'm not claiming by any means to have got it at all sorted. But, yeah, it's just what is God asking me to see in this thing, I think, is one of the few good things that I can see coming out of it, really.
Well done, buddy. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you to everyone who gives the podcast. Thank you for everyone who writes in. We don't get through all the emails, and sometimes they're not even for sharing. You're just writing into us because you want to say something, and we really appreciate those as well. So bless you. If you do want to write into the podcast, send it to joe@midfaithcrisis.org.
And we will be back with you next week. I think we're going to try and have an interview next
week. We are with the fabulous Sean Lambert. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see you all next week.
See you then. Bye now. God bless you.